We just asked Sister Lauren if there was any birthdays this week, and she said no. I'm wondering who has had in here had a birthday in the month of July. I'm not going to sing to you. Raise your hand if you had a birthday in the month of July. One, two, there's a few, three, okay. Brother Mike Wilkes mentioned several people in our congregation that have had birthdays or are going to have birthdays. Does anybody know, you remember any of them? I thought it was very telling when he said, I'm not going to say how old they are. And then he proceeded to announce his mother-in-law. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Who else? Who else's name was mentioned this morning in our congregation? Sister? Sister Newell? Yeah, that today. Anybody catch any others? Sister Henry. I think Brother Ramey Carr is having a birthday, right? Why do we celebrate birthdays? Presents, right? Okay.
It's the only day you turn a year older.
So you turn a year older. So you're celebrating turning a year older. What does the word birthday mean?
The day of your birth.
The day of your birth. So you are celebrating, that is exactly right, the day you were born. I don't think we think about that a lot of times. It's my birthday today. No, actually, you're celebrating your birthday that happened 15, 16, 50-some years ago. Famous people who have a birthday in the month of July. The founder of Wendy's, Dave Thomas. Henry Ford, he invented what? Ford's, the Model T. Princess Diana, George W. Bush, our 43rd president, and a long list of others. A lot of famous people in the month of July. But there's one birthday that's very important in July, and I was wondering if maybe you might know what birthday I'm referring to.
Independence Day.
Yes. July 4th. You're right. July 4th is the birthday of our country. Is it not? What year?
1776.
And what is so special about 1776? What happened that's considered our birthday?
The Declaration of Independence.
So the Declaration of Independence was signed. That is correct. 13 British colonies in North America sent delegates to Philadelphia, and these delegates became in time the governing body of the United States. What was the Declaration of Independence? What was that? Well, the word declaration, what's the root word of that?
Declare.
Declare.
A decision to make.
So we declared something. We made a decision. We're declaring we're independent. We are declaring we're independent from what country?
Britain.
You guys are with me. That's awesome. So I looked at a couple of key points from the Declaration of Independence. I think it's so good that we know some of these things and we remember these. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created
equal.
They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among us of these are
liberty and happiness.
Very good. Very good. So we know how we have someone here that knows the Declaration of Independence. So on the birth date of our nation, which we just celebrated a couple of weeks ago on July 4th, we declared our independence, and we declared that we were an independent body, independent sovereign states. Why am I talking about that? This is church. This is not history class. But history is woven throughout the Bible. History is woven throughout religion. And it's very important. We study this when we study the Revelation series, how important history is. And so, as I was meditating on what to bring tonight, my scripture for last week, and I tell you this many times, I like to get one verse and I like to meditate on it a whole week. A lot of times I like to just write the scripture out and write out thoughts and look at the chapter. And so my chapter, or actually my psalm, was Psalm 78. And that was one that I was meditating on. And these thoughts kind of went with this. Because in this psalm, it's considered the longest historical psalm. And basically what that author, Asaph, was doing was Israel must not forget their history. And it wasn't all good. It was actually some things they'd gotten out of the will of God. But you must not forget it. And the verse that really stuck out to me was verse 4, and it said, we will not hide them. Now, the them is talking about, from the previous verse, things our fathers have taught us. Things about who we are. Things about our history. We will not hide them from their children. From our children, we're going to show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. The importance of your history. Whether it's your personal history, your spiritual history, your family's spiritual history, your congregational history, or the history of your nation. It's really important that we don't forget these things. And when we have mighty works done in there, like the scripture says, you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to steal that memory, steal that praise, steal that awesome thing that God did. Many, many times when we hear, we have told you about Brother Steve's stroke and how God wonderfully, I say miraculously, healed him and brought him back from that. That was 20 years ago, but we're still talking about it. Anybody in here remember Brother Gordon? What do you remember about Brother Gordon? The jumping, the shouting, the praising God for what? His miraculous healing of cancer. We cannot forget the wonderful works that God has done. And that's not just spiritually. We need to also be aware of wonderful things he's done in our life materially. Right. Some of you testified, some testified Wednesday night about some awesome things God has done. Sister Whitney, God's done a wonderful miracle for her. I say miracle, a wonderful blessing, working out a home to live in. Now you could say that's not really a spiritual blessing, but it's still a mighty work of God and we can't forget it. We've got to keep bringing these things to our remembrance. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about our nation. Because we got a lot of people out there that are saying America is not a Christian nation. America was not founded on Christian principles. It was not founded on Christianity. If you have ever heard any of those statements, raise your hand. Okay. So online articles, I found at least three, just quickly Googling. Number one, America is not a Christian nation and never has been. Number two, the U.S., a Christian nation? Not according to the founders. CNN, America was not founded as a Christian nation. Now, I didn't spend a lot of time on that, but I think you can find that predominant thought is becoming stronger and stronger in our culture today. America is not a Christian nation. It never was. Is that true? Was Christianity, is the Bible woven throughout our history, or is it not? We need to know these things. It is very important that we know this for ourselves. Why? Because we'll forget the mighty works that God has done. On April the 6th, 2009, we had a president that said, although we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. Is that true? If it is true now, has it always been true? Has something changed? I definitely think all of us can agree that we're in troubled times as far as spiritual morality is concerned. But if our birth date was in 1776, now when a child is born, is that their beginning? Boom! They're here. They are now a person. Or did something happen for 9 months before? Yes. We all agree that life begins when? Conception, not at birth. And so the same thing in our nation was beginning to be founded long before 1776. A lot of wonderful things were happening. What happened in 1620? I hear some talk, but I don't know if I can't hear. The Pilgrims landed here. The Puritans landed here. And they came here. Why? One major reason. There was more than one, but Brother Jacob?
A new home.
What is a major reason they came? Religious persecution. They wanted to have religious freedom. So that's true. They did come for some economic reasons, for a better home. You are right. But the predominant reason would be for religious freedom. I want to tell you, throughout this lesson, I'm going to tell you several things that have happened in our nation that definitely point to God, point to the Bible, point to Christianity, because we must not forget the wonderful things that God has done. In 1751, A new bell was ordered to be created for the Pennsylvania State House, and a Bible verse was to be placed on that bell. Does anybody know what that verse is? It's from Leviticus. The verse is, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." It is called the what? Proclaim liberty throughout the land. It's called the Liberty Bell. It's a major historic monument. It's a major place to go visit that is a part of our history, and it has a scripture on it. But we weren't founded on Christianity. In 1774, America's first Congress convened. They asked a minister to open with prayer, and they read four chapters of the Bible. Was the Bible and Christian principles important in our nation's beginning? That's my question for you. In the Washington Monument, anybody in here ever been to the Washington Monument? Okay, there's some of you. Perfect. Very good. There are numerous Bible verses and religious acknowledgments carved on the walls, such as holiness to the Lord, search the scriptures from John 5 and 39, the memory of the just is blessed, Proverbs 10 and 7, in God we trust, the Latin inscription, which translate as praise be to God. All those are on different stones of the Washington Monument. What about the Jefferson Memorial? Anybody ever been in the Jefferson Memorial? I stood in there forever trying to read every single. Our kids love my husband and I because we want to read all the signs. They're done. Moving on. Inside there, you can read this, which is attributed to Thomas Jefferson. God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. Does it sound like a man who doesn't believe in the Bible or God? Food for thought. Now, since 1776, the birthday, a lot of other things have happened that continue to make me think that we must yet be a nation founded on godly biblical principles. In 1892, in a court case, the United States Supreme Court, can you go higher than the Supreme Court? No. That's the highest court in the land, declared America is a Christian nation. Our Supreme Court determined that. Before the invasion of Normandy, President Franklin Roosevelt led our nation in a 6-minute prayer, and he asked God to preserve our Christian civilization. Are we a Christian nation founded on biblical principles? In 1956, Congress adopted this motto, "In God we trust." In God we trust. In 2009-2010, the House of Representatives passed a resolution. So resolutions, it's different than a law. It's not like they're passing something, but these are things that we determine to be true. And I don't know that I've ever read this before, but it makes for some excellent reading. I'm only going to bring you a few pieces of it, a few sentences from it, but if you want to look it up, it's H.R. 397, the 111th Congress. It's very interesting. Now, this was as recent as 2010. How many years ago was 2010? 13. So not that far ago. It's not like 1776. All right, so here's what these are resolutions. Reminds me a little bit of Martin Luther's thesis. Here's the things I believe. All right, so these are the things I believe. We affirm that our rich spiritual religious history and subsequent history, and we support that the first week in May is America's Spiritual Heritage Week. Have you ever heard of America's Spiritual Heritage Week? I haven't either. But 13 years ago, it was established in the first week of May. Now, we certainly hear about a lot of other months that are designated for certain things. But I can't say that I've ever heard of that one. But Congress said 13 years ago, this is important. We should do this. All right, what else? They said, whereas. So whereas is like a resolution. Resolution, this is the next one. Whereas President Andrew Jackson declared the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. Whereas in 1854, the United States House of Representatives declared that religion must be considered as the foundation on which the whole structure rests, Christianity. That's the foundation of our country. In 1904, the federal government, now they should probably do this again, printed and distributed something called The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth and gave it to all the members of Congress because of the important teachings it contained. I say, let's bring that back. Where's Brother Jeff Carr? Let's see if he can print that up. That needs to be passed out again. So 100 plus years ago. All right. President Herbert Hoover declared, American life is built and can alone survive on the fundamental philosophy that was given to us by the Savior 19 centuries ago. That's our president at that time of the United States. President Harry Truman declared, the fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. What is he talking about? The Ten Commandments, which can be found throughout many, many of our federal buildings. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., many government buildings will have, whether it's a carving of Moses or it'll have the Ten Commandments. Whereas President Harry Truman declared, Whereas President Dwight D. Eisenhower declared, without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. And at the very end, it said resolved. The United States House of Representatives, they had four things, and I'm just going to read one. They reject in the strongest possible term any effort to remove, obscure, or purposely omit this history, all these things we just listed, from our nation's public buildings and educational resources. In your public education, in your whatever education that you have received, did you hear very much of that? Did you learn very much of that? Was that new information to you? And I just gave you a little bit. I went through gobs and gobs today. We could go through lots of information of our founders, our presidents, the signers of the Declaration, many different, there's the Mayflower Compact, and there's just several different documents that I could have brought up other examples. Was this taught to you? Why not? Congress, 13 years ago, said, we reject the removal of this from educational resources. Now, it wasn't a law. It was just them saying, this is what our desires are. After a press conference on September the 11th, 2001, there was a moment of silence. What serious event happened that morning?
The Twin Towers collapsed.
Correct. So two planes went into Twin Towers and also a plane into
the Pentagon.
And also the fourth plane went where? Pennsylvania, right? Was headed. We believe it's headed for the White House, I think.
Yeah, but it missed.
Yes. So Congress convened there on the steps. I don't know if everybody's ever seen that video. Both houses of Congress. It was a very, very sobering day. The saddest, probably the saddest day of my life. And after a moment of silence, does anybody in here know what happened?
A lot of people were gone.
Congress began to sing spontaneously, God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. When it's dark and when things are bad, our minds go to God, no matter who we are. We are a nation founded on godly principles. Back to Psalm 78. There's an old saying that those who forget history are condemned to do what?
Repeat it.
This is why God says, don't forget. This chapter, this psalm in 78 was not all good things Israel had done. God didn't want them to forget it. Make sure you tell your children so they can learn from your mistakes. Make sure that you share these things, whether it's obedience or disobedience, so you can see the mighty, merciful hand of God working. If you look at verses 5 and 6, I thought this was kind of interesting. Let me see if I can. You see five generations here. So he says, you've commanded our fathers, so me and my father, then the generation to come, then the children that'll be born, and declare them to their children. Five generations. Keep sharing it. Keep telling what God has done. Study it. Share it. Does anybody in here know how your parents got saved? Does anybody know the story of how your parents found God? It's important. That's part of your history. That's part of your heritage. How did mom and dad get saved? Maybe they were just a little kid and they were brought up in church and they were 5 years old, like Sister Henry's testimony. She talks about how being in the old church down on 6th and Locust, and there was a painting of Jesus holding a... Does anybody know this story? A little lamb. And as a five-year-old, she kept looking at that, and she started to be convicted and understand that she needed to be saved. That's her story. What's your mom and dad's story? If you don't know, I would challenge you. I want you to go home and ask, if your mom and dad are saved, ask them, what's your story? How'd you find God? When was the first time you heard God talk to you? When did you know the Church of God was the right church? Were you always here? Did you come? The DeVries family made a big choice. They moved here from Michigan. I remember that even before your parents were married. That was big. I've told you the story of my parents moved here from Nebraska, knew pretty much no one. My grandparents lived here, but they were evangelists on the evangelistic field, so they didn't stay very long. And so mom and dad moved here. Mom and dad's story is pretty powerful. And that helps me when I know that. Do you know your grandparents' story? How did your grandparents find the Lord? This is your history, your spiritual, literal history. Do you know it? Well, you know what? One of these days, your grandparents are going to pass away if they haven't already. One of these days, your parents are going to pass away if they haven't already. And if you haven't got that story from them, it's gone. How can you pass it to five generations if you don't know it? This is what we're talking about, whether it's our literal history here in America. Know what has God, the mighty works God has wrought in our nation. Know them. Study them. We've got a lot of people that are taking them out of the history books. There's an old saying, he who writes history controls something. I don't have it exact, but controls history. Find out. I think about my great-grandmother. Her name was Skeen. I forget her first name. Do you remember? Anyway, when she was... Grandma Green was very, very young. Grandma Skeen lived up in the hills and probably was a hillbilly through and through. Chewed her tobacco and just very... We'll just say ungodly. That'd be the best way to put it. And she was very ill. And she come in contact with, somehow or another, she came in contact with the Church of God, and she was healed. The way the story is told, that she actually came up out of her bed, kind of a Brother Gordon moment, in the middle of the night. God not only healed her, but he saved her. And so she tells that story has been told in our family. And then Grandma Green got blood poisoning. I think she was very young, either 6 months or 18 months old. And she had a red streak going up her leg, and they thought she was going to die. Sent off for an anointed handkerchief. And Grandma Green, do you know anything about that handkerchief, if you've ever heard? She carried that till she died. And when she shouted, none of you would know this probably, because she died the year Whitney was born. So most of you are younger than Whitney. She would carry that hanky, and she would, what was she doing? What was she doing? She was showing the mighty works of God. And that is a story that is very dear to us. It can be dear to you too. But it's part of my spiritual heritage. I had a grandmother that was divinely healed by God. And she made that known to the next generation. She did not hide that from her children. She made that known. So remember, young people, find out. What is our family history? What's our church history? How long has this congregation been here doing what it's doing? Does anybody know approximately what year? I believe it's 1960. Is that right, Sister Natalie? 1916? Yes, we don't know. 1916. So we had a 100-year celebration here not too long ago. It's my understanding, and we have a book over in the bookstore, if you can would like to purchase it, that has a lot of the wonderful, mighty works of God in this local congregation. But I had been told that some of the brethren from Anderson, Indiana, would ride the train from city to city, and they would put the old magazine, not our Gospel Trumpeter, but their magazine, the Gospel Trumpet, this was the Church of God and the Sixth Seal, they would leave them in the station depot, hoping that someone would pick them up. And it is believed that some people picked that up in this area and read it, and that was the beginning of the Church of God. We don't know for sure, but there's some pretty awesome stories. And that book is over in the bookstore, and it's only $5. It's not very expensive. Know the mighty, wonderful works of God. Why? So that you can be convinced yourself that there's going to be a day that you're going to want to pass that on to your children. And so I say, happy birthday, America. Land that I love. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. We have a heritage that is rich, rich in spiritual foundational principles. The world's going to try to take us from you. They're going to try to convince you otherwise. No, the scripture talks about firmly knowing what you've been taught. It is important. Let us stand. Sister Sharon, would you dismiss, please?